and Hebraic years are counted from then. We're currently in the month of Tishri, in the year 5780 by Jewish reckoning. In fact, today's date is the 21st of Tishri, and we're drawing to the end of a season called the High Holy Days, which mark the beginning of the calendar year. And just like January 1st, when we review our lives and make New Year's resolutions, this whole period of time is a time of reflection and pause, a chance to wipe the slate clean and reset our lives. On Rosh Hashanah, the first of Tishri, it's said that God opens the Book of Judgment. 10 days later, Jews celebrate the holiest day of the year, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, the one day in the year that the high priest could enter the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was kept. The Ark of the Covenant is a physical representation of the throne of God. Literally, the high priest could approach the throne of God and intercede for the nation. We're now in the Feast of Tabernacles, Sukkot, or Booths. Actually, today is the last day of Sukkot, and today has a special name, Hoshana Rabbah, the Great Hosanna. The seventh day of Tabernacles, and it's considered the final day of divine judgment, in which the fate of the coming year is determined. There's a particular focus on whether God will send rain over the rainy season, which is just about to begin in Israel, and we've certainly had rain this week of Tabernacles. These are the heavier former rains, as opposed to the softer rains, latter rains of the early spring. Over the past decade or so, I've read and heard many prophecies each coming year based on the symbolism of the Hebrew letters that make up the year. What seemed quite unusual a decade ago has become quite ubiquitous in the prophetic world these days. The prophecy that linked the year number to the psalm caught my eye, and when I read the section in it about the vine, when Andrew had had a picture of a fast-growing vine the night before, and we didn't understand it, this psalm really caught my attention. Hence, I'm speaking today at the beginning of the Hebrew year, just as God is making his final judgments for the coming year, which is also, probably not coincidentally, almost exactly the first anniversary of Father's house.
Yes.
So why 80? It's from the Hebrew year 5780, which has just begun. Hebrew has no numerals, and like the Romans, they used letters in place of numbers. But unlike the Romans, every Hebraic letter has a numerical value. And the number 80 is represented by the Hebrew letter Pei. And you should all have mandala. I don't know if Tammy wants one. You've got a spare one for Tammy. So. Right, I've given you that so you can, just a reminder, and if you want to colour it in later on, express some of your God-given creativity that he's given every single one of you, you go ahead and do that. Right, all letters have their origins in pictograms, and our own Latin alphabet has its origins in the same pictograms as the Hebrew letters. The letter Pei is equivalent of both our letters P and F and can be pronounced varyingly depending on the word. The pictogram for the letter Pei is a mouth. In fact, the word Pei in Hebrew means mouth. And as the number 80 prefaces this entire next decade, it demonstrates the importance of our words in this next season. As someone who hates to vocalise, it's probably an area I struggle in the most, despite the fact that you see me here talking in front of you right now. The fact is, I can communicate to God with my thoughts. He knows them before I do, but I cannot communicate to anyone else through my thoughts alone. I have to use my mouth in order to shape those words and release them into the atmosphere. Only audible declaration shifts the atmosphere around us. As we look at the opening title of Psalm 80, your Bibles probably use the word testimony or covenant. But in the Passion Translation, it reads, "Rescue and restore for the pure and shining one, Asaph's poetic song, set to the tune, your decrees are like lilies." And what are lilies? They're beautiful, fragrant, and pure white, and they speak of Jesus, the lily of the valley. Let's read the psalm. 80, rescue and restore. For the pure and shining one, Asaph's poetic song, set to the tune of your decrees are like lilies. God enthroned, be revealed in splendour, as you ride upon the cherubim. How perfectly you lead us, a people set free. Loving Shepherd of Israel, listen to our heart's cry. shine forth from your throne of dazzling light. In the sight of Benjamin, Ephraim, and Manasseh, stir up your mighty power in full display before our eyes. Break through and reveal yourself by coming to our rescue. Revive us, O God, let your beaming face shine upon us with the sunrise rays of glory. Then nothing will be able to stop us. O God, the mighty commander of angel armies, how much longer will you smoulder in anger? How much longer will you be disgusted with your people, even when they pray? You have fed us with sorrow and grief and made us drink our tears by the bowlful. You've made us a thorn in the side of all the neighbouring lands, and now they just laugh at us with their mocking scorn. Come back, O God, and restore us. You are the commander of angel armies. Let your beaming face shine upon us with the sunrise rays of glory, and then nothing will be able to stop us. Remember how you transplanted us here like a tender vine from Egypt. You cleared the land for your vineyard, evicting the nations from your land and planting us here. The roots of your vineyard went deep into the soil and filled the land with fruit. Because of your favour on your vineyard, blessing extended to every mountain of influence. Through this flourishing vineyard, mighty ones were raised up. The nations were blessed by your fruitful vineyard of Israel, all the way from the Mediterranean to the Euphrates. So, Lord, why have you broken down your fence of favour around us? Trespassers can steal the fruit from off our vines, and now every wild beast comes breaking through our walls to ravage us. You've left us without protection. Come back, O God, and to restore us. You are the commander of angel armies. Look down from heaven and see our crisis. Come down and care for your lovely vineyard once again. Nurture our root and our fruit with your loving care. Raise up the branch man, the son whom you've made strong. Enemies chop down our vine and set it on fire. Now show them your anger and let them perish by your frown. Strengthen this branch man, the son of your love, the son of man who dwells at your right hand. Then we will never turn back from you. Revive us again, that we may trust in you, O God, the mighty commander of angel armies. Come back and rescue us. Let your beaming face shine upon us with the sunrise rays of glory. Then nothing will ever stop us again. Isn't it interesting that we've already spoken of the throne of God, and here we have that image of Yom Kippur again. God enthroned, be revealed in splendour as you ride upon the cherubim, verse 1. The imagery takes us straight to the throne of God, and the Holy of Holies and the Ark of the Covenant, with the winged cherubim upon the mercy seat. I can't help but think of Isaiah. In the year that King Isaiah died, I saw the Lord seated on the throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were six seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Isaiah 6, verses 1 to 4. And here Asaph is crying out to God, for God to reveal that splendour once again. Crying out, decreeing, declaring, vocalising. Listen to our heart's cry, he pleads. But why does Israel need God to listen to them? God has done good things for them. He leads them perfectly. He's a loving shepherd. He set them free from captivity and by implication into a promised land. Yet people are crying out for rescue. And doesn't that sound familiar? We've been rescued and set free from captivity. He's our salvation, and yet we still struggle and life is hard. We've been brought into a promised land, and yet we don't seem to see the fruit of that promise. If we're following the premise that Psalm 80 is for this coming year, then by implication, Psalm 79 must speak of last year, or in the Solar Gregorian calendar, 2019. I couldn't believe the title the Passion Translation gives Psalm 79, Prayer in a Time of National Disaster. And if that doesn't describe our current circumstances in the UK, I don't know what does. This past year has been a difficult year, not just for the nation, but also for us as individuals and as a family and a community. I look around this room today and I don't think there's one person who hasn't had the challenges they've had to face and overcome this over the past 12 months. And for many of us, we're still facing those challenges, those giants, those mountains. It's hard, and it's struggle, and we're weary and crying out for rescue. We're asking God to pour out shell in his face upon us. Mm. Shine forth from your throne of dazzling light, the sight of Benjamin, Ephraim, and Manasseh. Stir up your mighty power in full display from before our eyes. Who are these witnesses? Benjamin, whose name means son of my right hand. And who is it who sits at the right hand of the throne of God and intercedes for us? Jesus, our Messiah. Ephraim means a double blessing, and Manasseh means causing me to forget. Forget what? Our misery, our captivity, injustices, our failures and mistakes, our wounds, our hurts and our sins. Jesus Christ's death on the cross has covered all our fears and failings by his shed blood. He has given us a double blessing. Decree that the Son of God's right hand has rescued you, has made you doubly fruitful, and caused you to forget, ... Just insert whatever you need to be forgotten in your life. Shall we declare, let's have a moment and think about things you need to forget in your life, and then we'll declare that together. The Son of God's right hand has rescued me, made me doubly fruitful, and caused me to forget. Jesus intercedes for us. He redeems and restores us. Cry out to him and he will answer you. And within these three witnesses, there's another promise. It's the promise of inheritance. These three were the youngest of the tribes of Israel, and as such they represent the next generation. God hasn't forgotten his promises. He has given us a future. It just doesn't always feel like it. Sometimes it feels like we're calling out, asking, God, are you there? Are you going to do something about this situation? The psalm continues. Break through and reveal yourself by coming to our rescue. Revive us, O God, and I love this bit, let your beaming face shine upon us with the sunrise rays of glory, then nothing will be able to stop us. Psalm 3, that phrase is repeated three times in this psalm. Let's continue. O God, the mighty commander of angel armies, how much longer will you smoulder in anger? How much longer will you be disgusted with your people, even when they pray? You have fed us with sorrow and grief and made us drink our tears by the bowlful. You have made us a thorn in the sides of all the neighbouring lands, and now they just laugh at us with their mocking scorn. Come back, O God, and restore us. And here we have it repeated again. You are the commander of angel armies. Let your beaming face shine upon us with the sunrise rays of glory, and then nothing will be able to stop us. We are experiencing what some have described as the dark night of the soul. But remember, after every dark night, a new day will inevitably dawn. Let your beaming face shine upon us with the sunrise rays of glory. Your glory, Lord. And what happens when God's face shines his face upon us? Nothing will be able to stop us. This is our God displayed before our eyes. Abba, Father, Papa, God. Shine your face upon us. How long do we have to wait? Let your beaming face shine upon us with the sunrise rays of your glory. And now we have a picture of that inheritance, that promise, the land with the sun shining down upon it. Verse 8. Remember how you transplanted us here like a tender vine from Egypt. You cleared the land for your vineyard, evicting the nations from your land and planting us here. The roots of your vineyard went deep into the soil and filled the land with fruit. Because of your favour on your vineyard, blessing extended to every mountain of influence. Through this flourishing vineyard, mighty ones were raised up. The nations were blessed by your fruitful vineyard of Israel, all the way from the Mediterranean to the Euphrates. God has given us a land, prepared the land. We've been rooted in the land. We've been rooted in the promise. Remember, our inheritance, our portion, it's fruitful, it's juicy, it's rich, it's productive. Mighty ones were raised up. This is both past and future. Remember, it happened before. We're crying out for it to happen again. But wait a minute. Verse 8 says, remember, didn't we just declare just now to forget? What are we to remember and what are we to forget? We must ensure that we're not forgetting God's promises and the good things he has done for us. Likewise, don't keep dredging up past injustices and hurts. God has asked you to lay them aside, then lay them aside. Go back to those promises that you haven't seen accomplished. Dust them off and bring them back into the light. God is faithful and true, and he will fulfil his word. When you feel hard-pressed and weary, remember the times God came through for you. He did it once. He will do it again. So here we have an image of abundant blessing. But in verse 12, we see that it has become tarnished. The little foxes have been nipping at the roots, stealing the harvest. How come the vineyard has lost its protection? Let's look at John 15, verses 1 to 11. Jesus, the living vine. I am a true sprouting vine, and the farmer who tends the vine is my Father. He cares for the branches connected to me by lifting up and propping up the fruitless branches and pruning every fruitful branch to yield a greater harvest. The words I have spoken over you have already cleansed you, so you must remain in life union with me, for I remain in life union with you. For as a branch severed from the vine will not bear fruit, so your life will be fruitless unless you live your life intimately joined to mine. I am the sprouting vine, and you are my branches. As you live in union with me as your source, fruitfulness will stream from within you. But when you live separated from me, you are powerless. The person is separated from me, he is discarded. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire to be burned. But if you live in life union with me, and if my words live powerfully within you, then you can ask whatever you desire, and it will be done. When your lives bear abundant fruit, you demonstrate that you are my mature disciples who glorify my Father. I love each of you with the same love that the Father loves me. You must continually let my love nourish your hearts. If you keep my commands, you will live in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands, for I continually live nourished and empowered by his love. My purpose for telling you these things is so that the joy that I experience will fill your hearts with overflowing gladness. What does Jesus say? Live in union with me. With Jesus as your source, fruitfulness will stream from within you. But when you are separated, you are powerless. Separated from the land, separated from nourishment. Psalm 80, verse 9, the roots of your vineyard went deep into the soil. Root yourself in the source. Don't allow yourself to forget the rich promises of God, his rich inheritance. Send your roots deep and lift your face upwards towards the sun. Gaze at the face of your Saviour, your King, the life-giving light of God. Do not allow yourselves to become separated. Don't separate yourself from Jesus. Don't separate yourself from God's word. Don't cease from meeting together. Don't draw back from spending time with your brothers and sisters in Christ. If you allow yourself to become separated, you will be burned. John 15, verse 6. If a person is separated from me, he is discarded. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire and burned. Psalm 80, verse 16. Enemies chop down our vine and set it on fire. Do not allow hard times to separate you from God. Do not allow delayed promises to separate you from God. Do not allow the lies of the devil to separate you from God. Do not allow offence to separate you from your brothers and sisters. Not political differences, nor theological differences, certainly not the minor ones. Do not allow weariness or despair to separate you from family. Maintain that hedge of protection. Maintain that life union with Jesus and that unity within the body of Christ. Celebrate what God has unified, despite all our unique differences. And if you can maintain that attitude, there is an amazing promise. John 15, verse 7. But if you live in life union with me, and if my words live powerfully within you, then you can ask whatever you desire, and it will be done. You can come before the throne of God and present your requests, and he will hear you. Not just once a year, but every day. Jesus tore that veil in two, and we can have access to the throne of God whenever we want. Let God's beaming face shine upon you. What an amazing God we have. Hebrews 4, verse 16. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness, that we may receive mercy and grace to help us in time of need. And here we are, standing before the throne of God, presenting to him our plea, reading from Psalm 80, verse 14. You've left us without protection. You are the commander of angel armies. Look down from heaven and see our crisis. Come down and care for your lovely vineyard once again. Nurture our root and our fruit with your loving care. Raise up the branch man, the son whom you've made strong. Enemies chop down your vine and set it on fire, and now show them your anger and let them perish by your frown. Strengthen this branch man, the son of your love, the son of man who dwells at your right hand. Then he will never turn back from you. Revive us again that we may trust in you. He is our good shepherd. He is the loving shepherd of Israel. He provides offensive protection for his sheep. Jesus said in John 10, verse 1, Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but finds in some other way, is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep will hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And then on from verse 9, If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. Listen to his voice. We can trust him. He will nurture our root and our fruit with his loving care. Psalm 80, verse 15. In John, Jesus says, The farmer who tends the vine is my father. He cares for the branches by lifting up and propping the fruitless branches and pruning every fruitful branch to yield a greater harvest. John 15, verse 1 to 2. He will strengthen the branch man, the son of his love, the son of man who dwells at his right hand. Psalm 80, verse 17. The branch man, that is Jesus, but if we also, it is also us if we live in life union with Christ. John 15, verse 4. Remain in me and I will remain in you. In John chapter 17, Jesus says, That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me. May they be brought together in complete unity, to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me. John 17, verses 21 to 23. God is in the business of rescuing and restoring, just as Psalm 80 is titled. Another psalm that's been on my heart in recent weeks is Psalm 126. It's one of the psalms of ascent. These psalms were sung at the Feast of Tabernacles, and today is the final day of Tabernacles. As I've already said, one aspect of the feast is judgment, and the people were praying that God would provide the rain for the coming harvest. Every day, over the 7 days of Tabernacles, the priests would descend to the Pool of Siloam and return with jars of water. And as they ascended back up to the temple, they climbed 15 steps. And on each step, they would sing one of the psalms of ascent. Once they returned to the temple courts, the jars would be emptied over the altar. And the water would overflow the altar onto the ground. Reminds me of Elijah on Mount Carmel, when he faced the prophets of Baal. That was another time of drought and grief. Recently, Sharon described a dream she had to me. It was of God seated on his throne, but the lower part of his body became a river of water. The river of living water that flows from the throne of God. Psalm 80 says restore. In Psalm 126, that prayer has been answered. In the Passion Translation, it's titled Restored. God will send his healing rain and we will see a harvest. A week or so ago, we met up with Sharon and Andy, and during the evening, we all burst into uncontrollable laughter. I was reminded of when Sarah laughed when she was told she would bear a son at the age of 90. In the natural, the promise of God seemed impossible. Yet a year later, she bore a son and named him Laughter. We too have a miracle child born into our family, and he's also named Laughter. Zach, short for Isaac. Let's read Psalm 126. Psalm 126, Restored, a song of the stairway. Twice was like a dream come true when you freed us from our bondage and brought us back to Zion. We laughed and overflowed with gladness. We were left shouting for joy and singing your praise. All the nations saw it and joined in, saying, The Lord has done great miracles for them. Yes, he did mighty miracles, and we are overjoyed. Now, Lord, do it again. Restore us to our former glory. May streams of your refreshing flow over us until our dry hearts are drenched again. Those who sow their tears as seeds will reap a harvest with joyful shouts of glee. They may weep as they go out, carrying their seeds to sow, but they will return with joyful laughter and shouting with gladness as they bring back armloads of blessing and a harvest overflowing. Your situation may appear bleak in the natural, but God is a good, good Father who only gives us good gifts. Psalm 126, verse 6, they may weep as they go out, carrying their seed to sow, but they will return with joyful laughter and shouting with gladness as they bring back armloads of blessing and harvest overflowing. John 15, verse 7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. Just as God told Ezekiel, prophesy to your mountains. To you, O mountains of Israel, will produce branches of fruit for my people Israel, for they will soon come home. I am concerned for you and will look for on you with favour. You will come home. You will be ploughed and sown, and I will multiply the number of people upon you, even the whole house of Israel. The towns will be inhabited and the ruins rebuilt. I will increase the number of men and animals upon you, and they will be fruitful and become numerous. I will settle people on you as in the past, and will make you prosper more than before. Then you will know that I am the Lord. I will cause people, my people Israel, to walk upon you. They will possess you, and you will be their inheritance, and you will never again deprive them of their children. Ezekiel 36, verses 8 to 12. Psalm 126, verse 2 says, we are left shouting for joy and singing your praises. Take time to gaze upon the shining face of Jesus. Ascend up God's mountain and approach his throne. Spend time with your Maker, the author and perfecter of our faith. He only has good things for us. Don't let the devil steal God's promises. Declare your promises out loud. Declare your victory out loud. Rejoice in all the good things God has done for you. Choose to believe that what he said is true and that he can be trusted. Cast out unbelief. Maintain a right attitude. Be very careful of the words you speak as you go about your daily lives. I can't. I don't. Raise up your faith by repeating God's truth until they're louder in your mind than the doubts. Lift one another up in encouragement and blessing. Some interpretations of the image of the letter Pei is that of the divine spark that lives inside of us. Proverbs 18:21 says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Be very mindful of your words, their power not only of the lives of others, but also of your own. Remember to speak life. Speak life into your situation. Speak life into other people's lives. Speak life into your family, into your friends. Speak life into your own body. Today we stand at the balance of times. God sits in judgment on the nations, and his judgment could go either way. God always gives us a choice, individually, as a community, and as a nation. Just before Moses died, he stood before the nation of Israel and showed them two paths they could take. He begged them to choose life. Our future's in the balance. Do we choose to root ourselves in him, to believe in his promises? As a church, the power of life is in our tongue. Let's decree love, let's decree hope, let's decree restoration, let's decree revival. I wonder whether we should act on God's word together. Maybe we could come forward and take turns to declare, make declarations over our lives, over Father's house, over this nation and over this world. I don't know if that's possible. Does anyone want to come up and declare, make declarations for what? Does anyone get a line of people here? And let's declare some truths. Let's change the atmosphere. Declare some truths over Father's house. Declare some truths over our lives and over this nation, over this world. Does anyone? I declare, is this on?
Just press the button.
I declare that Jesus Christ is Lord of this nation. I declare restoration, revival, renewal, and transformation over the United Kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
I wonder if we could, can we all stand up? Because I think you need to really just get involved with this. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Would it be all right if we did a we declare?
You're fine.
Yeah. Okay. We declare together that the favour of God is upon us. We declare and decree together that the favour of God is upon our health, that the favour of God is upon our family, that the favour of God is upon our ministry, that the favour of God is upon our future, that the favour of God is on everything that we do, is on our finances, is on every part of our lives. In Jesus' name, we decree it, we declare it, we speak it out in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Might it be right to develop this just a little bit? Because I think for some of us it's quite a big thing. After our own response and declaring. But I think it's quite a big thing to stand up and declare. And even to do a kind of a re-declare.
Yeah.
And perhaps it might be appropriate, if you think so, that we could pray for each other.
Yeah,
and
that's fine.
As well as declaring, to pray in God's blessing, to pray in His favour, and to just lift each, lift each other before.
That's fine.
Lord, declare hope in this country at this time, and hope in people's individual situations, and in Father's house.
Amen. I don't know whether we want to. It would be easier to facilitate that if we sort of break into groups, or does anyone want particular pressing encouragement at this time? I do reckon. Is there anyone who feels that they would like a bit, just some encouragement and blessing and some prayer in this situation, this time? We can gather around some people. And would like some.
When we read in the Psalms, particularly Psalm 2, that man can plan, man can seek to bring his will and purposes forward, but at the end of the day, the Lord says he laughs at mankind and his plans. And I think we really, at this stage, Lord, would say, we do truly back up that declaration of your word, your plans, your direction for this nation, which has never seen times like it, Lord, in this particular context. And we declare, Lord, that your will may be done over this land of ours, and that all the forces of darkness that are seeking to destroy us, the forces of darkness that are planned and purposed against the Houses of Parliament and the stability of our nation and our constitution, we bind in the name of Jesus. We want to see your declaration of power, Lord, and your blessing. And as we've been encouraged this morning, you are a God who can bring forward your plans and purposes if your people's hearts are turned towards you in prayer and repentance. And Lord, we just say this morning, we declare our repentance of maybe the way we've done things, we've gone about things, or even as a nation. But Lord, bring your power again to establish those standards and those purposes that are all part of your plan. So we're reminded, Lord, that you say man might plan his ways, he might plan how he goes about things, but you will direct his paths. And we therefore declare that for our nation. We desperately need your direction, your blessing, and your power to be established. So, Lord, we declare that the prayers of your people across this nation for this land of ours will see resolution and answer through your great blessing and mercy. Amen.
Amen.
I just thought, I meant to do this earlier as we were doing collection, but after what has just been spoken about, and as this is the start of another year in the Jewish calendar, and it's our first anniversary today of being called Father's House, I thought, why not let's do this declaration corporately, so we actually speak it out. And in months to come, we can look back and say, well, actually, from that Sunday, there was a shift and a change, because we made a declaration and we spoke out about these words. So I'm going down the back here and change it to number two. But so let's do this. So we receive... can we do it all together?
Yeah.
We receive today's offering. We are believing you for
heaven opened, earth invaded, storehouses unlocked, miracles created, dreams and visions, angelic visitations, declarations and divine manifestations, anointing, gifting and calls, positions and promotions, provisions and resources to go to the nations. Souls and more souls from every generation, saved and set free, carrying kingdom and revelation. Thank you, Father, that as I join our bodies to yours, you will show favor, blessings, and increase upon us. So I have no longer to go away with heaven and see Jesus get his full reward.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. So I think there's something in verbalizing, like the whole thing of where Mary said at the S of priests climbing the 15 steps. Actually, each step they took as a declarative sort of song of the Lord, declaring things and calling things into be. So they have faith for that. And I just think this morning it would be good for us to actually pray together just as we finish off. So maybe we'll get into threes, and don't join somebody that you're married to or that you... Well, I can't say that you know, because you should know everybody. But yeah, let's mingle the room, or mix the room around a little bit, and let's take a few minutes in prayer for each other. And if there's something specific that you've got in your life that you want prayer for, that there's a need that you have or an answer that you're searching for, well, then, you know, share that, and let's join in and back one another up and pray into these things as a group together. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Right. Let's do it. Let's go for it.